So you saw a lot of C Sharp, and that's great for C Sharp developers. But let me ask you, how many of you are also web developer using JavaScript? Come on, great, a lot of you. And so we are also invested to make sure that you can build great applications using your web investments. And that's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to do it with a little twist here. Because I know some of you might be skeptical sometime about the power of the web. And so I decided to cover it through five myths. And I'm going to do myth busting. Have you seen the show on the TV where they do these crazy experiments? They explode something and they demonstrate something that you didn't really need to know but was kind of fun. So I'm not going to explode anything. I was not allowed. But hopefully, we're going to have fun. Before I get into the myth busting, let me just set the baseline here for what a web application is. Hosted web app means you start from the device. We give you a container, a host that's a native environment that basically loads your content coming from the website. That allows you to have all of your application running in the cloud. You can keep it updated at your pace. You can do any change on the server. But the user gets an experience that is native and feels native. Why would you want to do that? Well, number one, because you can keep your existing workflow. And so if you already have content on the cloud, you have a method and process to test it, to develop it, to build it, to deploy it, you can keep all of this intact. You're not changing anything here. Number two, by running that web application inside a native environment, you actually get access to native APIs. In the case of Windows, as I showed you earlier in the keynote, and I'll show you again shortly, you can access any universal API from JavaScript from your web application on the server. And number three, once you do that, not only you get the exposure of the web, but you also get into the store, into the Windows store or other stores. And what allows you to do is not just the discoverability for users, which is very important, but it's also start thinking about maybe different business model for parts of your website, or even thinking about the analytics and the comments, right? You don't get users to rate your website or to provide a comment on the website. But when you put it in the store, you actually get all of that, which actually can help you creating even more engaging experiences. We've seen a lot of these, and then bring back that feedback to your website as well. So now that we are on the baseline, let's start with the myth. So myth number one, I'm just going to address it from the beginning, because I know some of you are probably thinking about this. Web applications stink, right? This is the question, right? Do they stink? I'm not saying they do. So it turns out, actually, that if you look at the store, in this case, I just took some of the application in the Windows Store, there are already a lot of web application there. And the great thing is that as a user, you don't even know about it. You don't realize that it's a web application. And you might think, yeah, okay, but the quality might be lower. Look at the quality here. Like, the rating from users is great. In fact, let me take just one as an example, Shazam. If you look at the Shazam application, they're building all of their UI as HTML and JavaScript and CSS, and they keep it like on the cloud. That allows them to keep it always up to date and to update it anytime at their speed. But the core engine, the part that recognizes the audio and understands what is playing, is written in C++. And so that's a great example of web application where web content get leverage of native APIs. And the users are loving it. The feedback from users on the application is great. So let me show you an example of a web application that how a web application can be great. So I'm going to load here a website built by a developer in my team and supported by a couple of others, very smart developers in France. It's called Sponza. And this is actually a 3D representation of a real castle. We can play audio on this machine, number six. And you can see, like, this is all 3D, 60 frames per second. This is actually using WebGL, so it's all standard code. And I can go in and I can navigate into the castle and go around this. So what if I want to make this turn this into web app. Again, I'm going to copy the URL. We can close this. Going back to the hosted web app template in Visual Studio that I showed you earlier, we can go into the manifest and replace the starting point to be Sponza app. And now, as I play this, same thing I showed you in the keynote, that content will shortly be available just as an app. And as a user, the great thing about this is that you don't even know this is web content, right? When you launch or download this app from the store, what tells you is a web app? Nothing. In fact, if you plug a controller into your application here, you could even navigate using your controller here. So it's completely an experience that feels native, right? So what do you think? The first myth that web apps thinks, I guess we can say, is busted. Busted, OK, yeah. Yes. We need to work on that. It wasn't very aligned, but there are a few more. All right, myth number two. Web apps are an affront to web standards. That's not true, actually. In fact, as we build hosted web apps on Windows, we also care a lot about finding a way for web apps to be standard on the web. And we've been working with W3C on a standard manifest. This is a specification. You can go and check up the URL. And that manifest is something that you just put on your website and define the basic property of a web application, your starting point, the icons, some of the metadata, like permissions. And Windows, like we are working on this, as well as many other bodies in the standard group. Now, that defines the baseline. Now, when you want to call into native APIs, in the case of Windows, is what I showed you earlier. Like you can just, from JavaScript, you call Windows APIs. Everything is exposed through the Windows.namespace. On other platforms, this is a bit more difficult. And so there are a number of frameworks, plugins on the web. For example, Cordova is a popular one that allow you to do create that bridge between web and native. And Cordova will just create that wrapper for you. So in this case, for example, you can see how you can use this code on an Android application, for example. And so let's see this in action again with a website. And let me show you what I mean with this. So I'm going back to my demo machine. I have a lot of demos, so I created multiple desktops. I'm just going to switch to my next desktop here. So I have a website here. It's a Bank of Contoso. The website is responsive, so it works great, actually, on any device. And what I want to do is build a web application from this website that works not just on Windows, but on any device. And so to do this, I have a console, and I'm going to use a tool called Manifold.js. It's just a Node.js tool where I can give the URL. This is something that my team has been building in open source a couple of years ago. It's been incredibly successful, but it's just one of the many tools you could use. And while this is working or doing something, let me explain what's happening in the background. So this is, the tool is going to the website, and you see now the code of the website. You see here I have a manifest.json file. That's exactly that manifest, web app manifest I was talking about. And that web manifest has a bunch of information. And so Manifold is reading this file and is creating web applications for all of the devices, not just Windows, but also for Android, iOS, Firefox, Chrome OS, like for all the platform out there. And I also show you like how we do the native code. So in the case of Windows, I have a Windows.js file that is just checking for is Windows, like are we running inside Windows, and if so, calling into, in this case, the camera capture or calling into some credential APIs. In the case of Android and iOS, instead I'm using Cordova. And again, Manifold will take care of all the wrapping for me. So let's see if we are done here. OK? So Manifold just exported the project. So let me show you, actually, in action, Explorer. This is what that tool just created. Each of these folders is containing a web app for different platforms. So for example, if I go inside Android, you can see your Android project there that you can open in Visual Studio or any tool. Same for iOS, et cetera. I'm going to install here. I'm going to start with the Windows application. So I'm going to say Manifold.js run Windows 10. And this is going to take my Windows 10 folder here. Notice this time I didn't even use Visual Studio. The project is still the same, so I could edit it with Visual Studio if I wanted. And it's going to create a package, and it's going to install it locally on my machine, and then run the application. And so here we are back into the web app running on Windows. Now, it's a universal app, so I could run exactly the same application from my phone. So let me project it here. And so the same application, no changes needed. Now it's working on my Windows Phone device. This is great, but the purpose of this demo was actually to show it running on other devices. So actually, let me run an emulator here. And I'm going to show you the same application now running inside Android. Let's see if it loads. If not, I will show it on a physical device. All right, here it is. Oh, let's try one more time. And well, there is much you can do when it's completely offline, the emulator. But just trust me on this. It works great also inside Android. And so, thank you, I know. Again, live code. I guess this myth that web apps are not following standards is busted. Better, yes, better, but come on, guys. It should be much better. But I'll take this on me. I'll prove you with the next one that we can do much better. Web apps, actually, you just saw it, can't run offline. Well, technically, any application out there, if you're requiring data from the network and you're not connected to the network, like there is no miracle, right? It's not going to run. That's what you just saw now. But if you engineer the app correctly, actually, even a web app can run offline very well. How do you do it? There are a number of technology and patterns. For example, there are a lot of standards that you can use even in the browser, whether it's app cache or IndexedDB or local storage. There are more standards coming to the browser. For example, service workers, web notifications. These are still building up. The specs are not final yet, but are starting to. These APIs are being built in browsers nowadays. And then if you're running as a native app, you also have access to a bunch of native APIs that gives you even more. You can have hybrid content. So some of the content might come from the cloud, and some of the content, you might actually package it inside your package that you send to the store. And there are a number of techniques to do this. For example, MS App Error is something we provide that make it even simpler. And so let me show you that in action this time. All right. So I'm going to go back to the application that you saw earlier, and that was Hotbits. So this is the Hotbit application that you saw earlier. So I'm going to select my instruments again. Now, right now, I'm running online. So I can play the music, and there is audio here. Crank up the volume. Come on. Yes. All right. So what happens if we, and keep the audio there. What happens if we go offline? Well, let's simulate it. You know, we're already doing live code. It's even worse to go offline during a live code demo, but let's try. So I'm going to go in airplane mode. And now, basically, cut off my network. And so as soon as I click or interact with the app, if you don't do anything inside the application, it's going to show a 404, right? It's going to show some error. But because we put some smart code inside the application, it's actually falling back to a low-resolution experience. And this content is coming inside the package. And so in this case, I have a low-res bit machine, right? It's not as great as the live content, but it still provides a basic experience to the users. And then when you go back online, it's going to detect that you're back online, and you're going to be able to go back to your full experience. So this is just like a way to do it. How did we do it in code? Let me show you the project here. So again, this is a hosted web application. We have this file called MS App Error, which is a magic file. And basically, every time the application realizes running offline, it's going to go into this file, which all it does is an SVG. So that drum machine was actually an SVG element. We play a bit with standards here. And then I also package inside that my application package a bunch of like very basic wave sounds. And I'm playing those using just native APIs. So that's for offline. This is just one technique. So what do we say? The offline myth is busted. Yes, yes. Good, 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 good. Next one. Debugging a web application is as much fun as a root canal, which is not fun, but yes. You might have experience, right? You build this web app. It's running inside this host. That host is running inside a mobile device. It becomes kind of tricky to debug it. And so that's why we've been working on a number of tools. The first one is F12. These are tools available in Edge. But actually, if you go inside a web application on Windows and you press F12, you're going to find the F12 tools coming up inside the application. So it's a power user trip, but it's very, very powerful. The other thing we built for cross-platform is a tool called Vorlon.js. And this is a web tool that does something that's very magical. It basically, all you need to do is add a little JavaScript header to your website, and that allows to instrument and debug your website even when it's running on other devices. So let me show you this in action. I'm gonna go back to my other monitor here, and we should have the Bangkok Photoso app again. All right, so let me drag this. There, perfect. So here's my app, and Vorlon is the console that you see on the right, so I'm just gonna snap it. Actually, let me run the app again. Right, and as soon as I launch the app, you can see that a new client appear here on the right. If I don't know which one is the app, I can just say identify client, and then you can see the application get a 5, which means it's this, right? And then as I navigate through, this gives you access to the full console, right? So it's, you can get access to the JavaScript, to the CSS. You can inspect the application real time. You can make changes to the layout. You can run a bunch of tools. So very powerful. And I'm debugging from a website into a web application installed locally on my machine. This is cool, right? But do you have an applause? Wait for the next thing. Because this is kind of cheesy. Okay, it's running locally, so maybe it's using localhost or, you know, it's a demo. So let's make it very hard now. I'm gonna ask you to hit this website and let's try to see what happened. So just go to this website with any device that you have right now. aka.ms Banca with a K. All right. And look what's going on right there. As you're connecting with your devices, I can see that there is a Macintosh, there are more Windows machines coming up. Guys, okay, stop it. I don't know how many we can support here. Well, we'll test the quality of the code of my team here. All right, so let's identify the client. So right now, you should be able to see a number on your screen. Let's say, who is the number? Let's go into an iPhone. 22. Any 22 in the room? There are also people, 1,000 people online, so probably right now there are 1,000 people hitting that URL. Be scared. Okay, let's try with another number. Number 10, is it in the room? Yes, number 10, over there. Okay, let's stand up. I'm gonna do some voodoo magic now, so the people around you can be, you know, assess what's happening on your screen. Do you see things blinking? All right, great. So go back into the, you remember there was this section here with the account list, the kids college, okay? So we want to help him because $170 for kids college, come on, we can do better, right? So I have this R-coded function in my application. It's called Kaching. How much should we raise for him? $1 million? Yeah. And now watch what's going on. How is your bank account now? I guess healthy is the right word. Or I can even show a pop-up on your screen. Ciao. Now, he's having the best time of his life. Probably you guys don't know what's going on. But I'm debugging right into his device, and things are happening right there inside his device from here, just using that simple header file that I added to my website. So that's the power of a tool that we open source called Vorlon.js. And so, the moment you were waiting for, this myth that is difficult to debug web application is busted. Yes, now into the last myth. Native apps can do more than web apps. Boo. Of course native apps are great, but that doesn't mean web apps can also be great. In fact, on one side, the web platform is evolving. There are a lot of capabilities coming to the standard bodies. For example, fetch APIs are going to make it easier to do the XHR kind of request. You're probably familiar with the callback system. It's very old. And fetch API is going to replace it with a promise method. We're also adding web notifications, so the ability for a website to send notifications into a device. And in the case of Windows, we're going to display these notifications in the action center. And then, of course, from a native capability, Windows 10 gives you access to pretty much all of the universal APIs. Not only that, but also you can have your own C++ library. You can have your own C# code and call directly into that from JavaScript. And so let me show you a couple of examples here. The first one is actually a story of a partner we've been working with that was building a, a web application for a conference, and they wanted people to be able to register using NFC card by scanning their phone. And they were a bit concerned, like they were asking, "Is this going to work as a web app? We are not sure, etc." And so we built this little prototype together for them, and I show you here today. This is just a website. In fact, this time I'm just going to show F12 tools to show you the code. Inside the website, I prepare, if we're running inside Windows, I'm going to use the proximity APIs. So this is one of the universal APIs. And I'm going to run the same website now on my phone. So I can close this. Now let me project my phone. And so I run the same web application now on my phone. And I'm going to use those proximity APIs to detect like an NFC tag here. And so what happens is that when I tap the phone on the NFC card, it should receive the event and communicate that native API is back to the website. Let's see if it, and if it does recognize it, you're going to see it going green. Ready? There you go. That's NFC call from your web application right there. Cool, right? One more, the last one. Also challenging. I'm going to go back where I started with Sponza. So that was great. I'll show you how you can navigate using the controller. But what if I wanted to control this, again, going back to magic, using my hands? So now I can just wave my hands in the air and navigate through this experience using my hands. Look at this. We are using a new API called Magic. This is part of the universe. No, I'm kidding, it's not Magic. We're actually using the band. So my web application is communicating to the band that I'm wearing right now. In fact, let me show you the code behind. Just gonna stop debugging. You can see here I have the first part of the project is just a web application, the same one I showed you earlier. The web application is a reference to my second project, which is a C# project. Which Ben Helper, which use the band SDK, and then I have a C# library here that basically listen for the bands, connect to the band, and get the accelerometer data from the band via Bluetooth, communicate it to the app, and you never thought that there was a web application because it's that powerful. And so the myth that web application cannot be powerful as much as native app is busted. Yes. Thank you.